you have the word of the Lord with you today, turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I was looking at that earlier this week and looking at it, and I thought, you know, this is, I know we were going to read it, but it really seems something that we should look at and really discuss and talk about today. So if we start in chapter 5, we're going to just read a couple of verses and then try to talk about it a little bit. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, being that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. So I looked at this, and you know, if we look at it, it's Apostle Paul is saying, you know, and I like the way he started out chapter 5, for we know, you know, and with, you know, in Romans 8:28 it says, and we know that all things work together. We know. There's a lot of things we know. And what it's saying here is Paul is saying, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, what he's talking about there, Roger, is, you know, when we die, if this, what he's talking about, this, if our earthly house, that's the bodies which we occupy, you know, of this tabernacle. And that's kind of, you know, we talk about this and we see these things. And if we die, it's saying, for we know that if we die, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You know, and it talks about, you know, that he says, you know, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and gather unto myself where I am. You may be also. So he has built many places for us to live. And so what I like about in here is it talks about, you know, it talks about later we're absent from the body, but we're present in the Lord. You know, and this just goes to show us what we believe in, don't we? We believe when we die, that body does what, Sue? The body goes and it's in the grave. That body's in the grave. But our spirit leaves and goes up to reside with him in immortal glory. And so this here is going on and telling us the same thing. And this is what should be of a comfort for a child of God. Because we know that we have a building of God. You know, we sing that song, Christ went a building to prepare what? Not made with hands. Not made with hands. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands. You know, Bill and Sue are having a house built, right? Now, it's not just going to miraculously be built, does it? It has to be built with hands, right? But we understand, we're talking about the God of heaven, the eternal God that resides in heaven. And here's a God, he just spoke it, didn't he? He didn't have to make it with his hands, did he, Roger? He spoke it and his earth was formed. The stars in heaven. He created all the animals and everything. He didn't start out with little babies or anything like that, animals and stuff like that. He did what? He created them. When he created man, when he created Adam, he didn't create a little baby, did he? He created a fully grown man. And when he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam, and he took that rib from Adam and made him a helpmate, it was a woman, and he called it her name Eve. She was a fully grown woman. She wasn't a little girl that was a baby. No, a little baby girl. No, she was a fully grown woman. So a house not made with hand, eternal in the heavens. I like that word, eternal, because that means it's never going to end. It's never going to end, is it? It's eternally there. And we're going to be with him sooner or later, aren't we? So when Brother Leroy, when his mom passed away, she went to what? Reside with God in heaven. Even Leroy, when I talked to him, you know, she's in a better place. You know, And we're going to get into this a little bit in a place where kind of like we all want to be, don't we? We all would love to be up there with Him. For in this we groan. Can you imagine that? You know, we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is what? What does it say? Which is from heaven. And when we look at that, we know that this is what we're groaning about. That we want to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, don't we? That's our heart's desire, isn't it? You know, the Apostle Paul, remember, and I'm not quoting him exactly what he said, but you know, he says, I'm between a rock and a hard place. He says, for really what I want to do is depart to be with heaven. But what does he say? It's more needful for me to be here. And like I say, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not quoting, but that's what he pretty much says. It's more needful for me to be here. So if we're still on this earth, you know, when we get out of that bed and we can put our 2 feet on the ground or on the floor and get up and walk around, we know that we're still in this world. And that according to God and according to Paul, what is it? It's more needful for us to still be here. Roger is a living proof of that. When the doctor sat there and pretty much had you all but dead, buried and everything, and he's still here. How many years has that been? 15, 20 years? 25 years. So even though I know Roger would just love, you know, we all want to be with our Savior, Jesus Christ, but it is more needful for us to be here. And we do earnestly desire these things. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And isn't that we want to be clothed upon? When we're clothed upon with the righteousness and clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we're not going to be found naked spiritually, are we? Because we're up in heaven with Him. We're there. We're there with Him. So going on, it says, you know, and I like, again, you know, I love the style of Paul. Because, and he starts out in verse 4 and he says what? For we that are in this tabernacle. So he's including us with him. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. For not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Or what is mortal might be swallowed up of life. So we're being burdened. Not that we're unclothed, but clothed upon. Clothed upon. You know, remember, he says, you know, our own righteousness is nothing with filthy rags, isn't it? We're clothed upon, we are with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So when we see these things, these are things that should be comforting unto us in this world today, as we're out there in this world. And I know we see a lot of things and bad things going on and whatever, but we cannot be like the song we sang earlier. We might be cast down, but we can't be destroyed. We can't let what's going on in this world swallow us up, do we? It's easy to get caught up in all this, isn't it? You know, and like, you know, Bill was telling his sister, you know, don't look at this one newscast because they're bent towards the democratic side and liberalism. And they're going to promote different things that are being told and whatever. So we have to watch out while we're in this world. We've got to be able to pick out what's the truth and what's not the truth. It's just like sometimes when we go on Facebook, I was talking with Mabel earlier today. You know, we have to watch out. Not everything that's on Facebook is true. Understand? It's not true. Just like everything that's on the internet is not true. You have to search it out and look to see if what these things that they're saying is true. I'm diabetic, and I looked at something about diabetes. Well, now I get 20 things in Facebook all the time that says, well, here, take this pill, take that pill. It's going to cure your diabetes and whatever. You know what? A pill isn't going to cure your diabetes. My wife might be shaking her head, yes. A pill's not going to cure your diabetes. A pill, just like most of the pills we take today, only cover up the problem. You know what I mean? It doesn't solve the problem. I know Big Pharma wouldn't like to hear me saying those words because that's how they make all their money. But I'm going to bring you one point in question. I had a pill that I was taking for, I think, my high blood pressure. And it was taken off the formulary. So the doctor sat there and said, well, here, take this one. And it was cheaper than the other one. And I started taking it. And I took it for like 3-4 days and my feet started all swelling up. And I went back to him and said, hey, my feet are all swollen. Well, here, I'll give you another pill to take away the water out of your feet, to take the swelling down in your feet. Well, I didn't have any side effect like that with the other one. So I said, well, just put me on the other one. You know, if it's not on the formula, it's going to cost me more. At least I don't have to take two pills to cover up what one was doing before. So this is how they do it to you, the doctors, you know. And so we really need to be watched out as we're up in the world. You know, and in verse 5, we see Paul saying, now he that hath wrought us, or he that has prepared us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of his Spirit. So God is the one who's prepared us for all these things. And he's the one who continues to prepare us all the time and each and every day of our lives. And what I like is who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. He's given us his Holy Spirit that resides in our bodies, and the earnest of the Spirit. That's the things that gets us going and keeps us going all the time. You know, even if you look in Ephesians chapter 6, I can't remember exactly what verse it is, that he said that we should be what? Praying in the Spirit all the time. If you're trying to pray without the Spirit, your prayers are not going to be a right prayer. You got to get your hearts right, your minds right when you go to him in prayer. So in verse 6, Paul is really starting to get into some things here that are real interesting. And he says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent in the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So in verse 6, he's saying, you know what? He says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now, you might say, well, Brother Dave, that's a lot of common sense, but a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people don't look at it. And knowing that, you know, when I'm here in this body, while I'm here right now, I'm alive, aren't I? And we know there's a lot of people that are in this world today that are alive physically, but what are they? They're dead spiritually, aren't they? So isn't it awesome to know that while we are at home in this body, that we are physically alive, and because we're a child of God, we are what? We are spiritually alive. Now we are, and it says we are absent from the Lord. Now we got to understand, we're not really absent from the Lord because the Lord is always with us. What Paul is talking about here is we're not residing up in heaven with him. You understand? But we are not absent from the Lord. And you could say, well, how can you say that? Because at the end of Matthew, you know, he says, you know what? I'm going to never leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I was reading the other day. That's like a triple negative. I think Brother Leroy might have said it. I will never, never, never leave thee. I will never, never, never forsake you. And so that means that he's going to be with us all the time. And it's good knowing through this time that who is with us going through all this stuff? Who's with us? Do you think God has just abandoned us because of this virus? Do you think He's left us? He's not there. He's still here. He's walking right beside us. He's with us. You know, we sing the song, He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. And what is the very last thing? He lives what? Within my heart. He lives within our hearts all the time. If He's living in our heart, how can He ever leave us? He can't be absent from us. He's not absent. The absence He's talking about is from being absent from Him in heaven. And that means, if we go back to what I saw, it's more needful for us to what? Still be here on the earth. Maybe we're here upon this earth to spread the gospel. Maybe we're upon this earth to be a good witness to people or even our families. And I thought, maybe I haven't read that yet, but it talks about where we are ambassadors. So we're here on this earth because we're good ambassadors to Him, to carry the word out into the world as we go along. That was makes it so. We look at it, we see these things that He does for us. In verse 70, it says what? For we walk by faith, not by sight. Isn't that amazing? We walk by faith, not by sight. That faith means, you know what? That we're obedient to the will of God, isn't it? By having our faith in Him, we are obedient to His word and not by sight. And I want to go to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. In verse 18, it's the last verse before we go into chapter 5. And it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So that's why he's saying we don't walk by sight, because the things that we can see in this world are only temporary. They're only temporary. Because when he talks about that we should be clothed, we have a building of God, a house not made in hands, eternal in the heavens. So when we look at these things here, we know that, and I think Brother Leroy has said this, I know Brother Roger has said it, you know, earth is not our home. Earth is not our home. Even the Bible says, what does the Bible say? We're nothing but strangers and pilgrims in this world in which we live. We're nothing but strangers and pilgrims as we go on in this world. So, but for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And in verse 1 of chapter 5, he says that this house not made with hands is eternal in the heavens. Isn't that great when we see that it's eternal? It's eternal. So we're walking by faith, because the things that we have not seen are eternal. Are eternal. Why does he say, don't lay up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth or rust doth corrupt? But he says, lay up for yourselves what? Treasures in heaven. For where your heart is, there's where you're going to be, right? So, we look at these things and we see, we walk by faith, not by sight. If you go to Hebrews, it's that chapter 11 or chapter 12, it's the faith verse. And we can see all these people that had faith. They were walking by faith. Remember when God talked to Abraham and said, you know what? I want you to leave this place where you are. Leave this place. And I want you to go. This is where I want you to go. And I'm going to make a great nation of you. Now, to have faith is what? You got to be obedient to the word of God, right? And he was obedient, wasn't he? Abraham was obedient to the word of God, and he went and did what God told him to do. Noah, when he built an ark, he didn't ask for proof first, did he? By faith, he obeyed the word of God, didn't he? He obeyed the word of God, and he went and built an ark. But then we have to look at it the opposite way. You know, Saul didn't obey the word of the Lord, did he? When he said, well, I want you to go in this country and I want you to destroy everything in this country. And when he came back, Samuel sat there and said, you know, what have you done? What do you mean? I did exactly what the Lord told me. No, you didn't. He says, what's the sound that is bleeding? He was talking about the animals making all the noise and everything. What is the sound that is noise I hear in my ears? To obey is better than sacrifice, isn't it? Because that's what he said. We brought the animals back so we could use it to sacrifice to the Lord. What did Samuel tell Saul? That isn't what I told you to do, is it? That isn't what I told you to do, Saul. I told you to destroy everything. You didn't do what he told you to do. That's what we have to do. We have to obey God and what he's telling us to do in this world today. That he's there for us. When we do these things, you know, we are confident, verse 8. See, Paul, I like when he says this. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we are of good courage and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present from the Lord. You know, you see what he's saying there? It's we're willing to do these things. We're willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And I know death seems strange. I don't want to die. I don't want to die right now. I'm sure Roger doesn't want to die. Mabel or Bill or Sue. None of us want to die. But we know that it's appointed unto man once to die. And when it's our time to go, we're going to go. And there ain't nothing that we can do to delay it, can we, Brother Roger? Ain't nothing we can do to delay it, or we can't do anything to bring it forward to go and be with him. Look at in verse 9. Apostle Paul says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. So we're gonna continue. You know, the Apostle Paul is saying, you know what? Don't worry about some of these things. Don't worry about them. I know they're on our mind, but he says, you know what? You should labor. You should continue to labor whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of him. That we may be accepted of him. You notice there's so many people, like even in this world today and some other churches around here, well, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That doesn't say that here, does it? It doesn't say that we may accept Him. It says that we may be accepted. We may be accepted of Him. In Ephesians chapter 1, in let's read verses 5 and 6, maybe a little longer. Apostle Paul, again writing, says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. To the praise of the glory of God's grace, his grace, God's grace, wherein he, God, hath made us accepted in Jesus Christ. It's not us, it's him. Chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not us, it's not our good works, it's not anything that we have done. It is nothing but by the grace of God. So wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And this is why it makes it so, as we read some of these other verses that we go down, you know, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So when Paul says we, he knows that he's going to have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We are going to have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You know, we haven't done, I'm not saying we go out to do bad things, but what he says, whether it be good or bad, that's what we are. We can't deny the fact at all. The things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. Remember in Romans 8:28, we're talking about, you know, and we know that all things work together for good to them that are, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We can relate that to here. But we do know that in the end of the world, he does say that the books are open. He says the books are open and they're judged out of the things that are written in the book. And Bill knows that my favorite word is but. When it says there what? But another book was opened, which is the book of life. And it says that those whose names were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. We know that we are what? Sinners saved by the grace of God. In verse 11 it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. You know, it's not that we should be terrified of the Lord, but we do know that the Bible says to fear him that can what? Destroy both body and soul in hell. We have a reverential fear of the Lord. And sometimes we do, I'm not saying we persuade men, but we are witnesses and we do witness unto them and telling them about the good things of God, don't we? Just like the Apostle Paul did. Apostle Paul, he went out and he would talk to men. Remember when he was first on the road to Damascus, and remember a lot of people didn't believe him, that he had changed, right? They were scared of him for quite a while. But then through learning and talking, he would show everyone what? That Jesus was the Christ, that Jesus was the Son of God. But we are made manifest unto God. We are made manifest unto God, for God sees and knows what we are in this world. God sees everything about us, right? You know, we can't hide anything from God. You know, people that are out in the world think that they can do that. But we know that we cannot. But all things are made manifest unto him. And I trust also are manifest in your consciences. That these things are brought to our minds by the Apostle Paul as we go there. Look at him in verse 12. He says, for we commend not ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. And if we look at these things as we go on, you know, the Apostle Paul is saying, you know, we're not commending ourselves unto you. We're not speaking the words of man's wisdom, are we, Brother Roger? We're speaking the wisdom and the words that are of our God and Lord Jesus Christ and what he lays upon our heart. But give you occasion to glory on our behalf. Not so much to glory, but just, you know, just help us in what we do when we pray and we, I'm not pray, but preach unto you. that we may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. You know, it's, remember what? What is he doesn't look on the outward appearance, does he? God doesn't work on the outward appearance to see what we are. We know we're all different, aren't we? You know, it could be kind of weird if we all looked the same, didn't we? But we're all different. But he doesn't look on our outward appearance. What does it say in here? He looks on the heart, doesn't he? You know, I'm a big proponent of the heart, everything from the heart. So these are the things that we have to do and look at, that it's not in the appearance. It's in the heart. Because the Bible teaches us that, aren't we partial? If we see somebody coming walking in with a nice suit on, nice shoes on, his hair all pretty and everything, you know what I mean? And, you know, he comes walking in and we're going to say, wow, this guy's, you know. But if then following him in a few minutes later would be a guy in kind of like dressed in blue jeans and, you know, maybe a shirt that might not be, you know, all clean or everything. Aren't we partial to the one guy and not to the other? But see, God doesn't look on that outward appearance, doesn't he? He doesn't judge it by outward appearance. He judges us by what's in here. Remember, he lives within our heart. How do we possess our bodies? How do we possess our bodies? How do we spend the time? Do we spend the time on this earth in sojourning in fear? Or are we just are flippant about our lives and not worry about it? Eat, drink, and be merry. But remember what happened to the guy that had a really good season with growing crops, right, Brother Roger? And he says, well, I don't know, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to tear down these old barns. They're not good enough for what I've got. I'm going to build a bigger barn, right? And I'm going to put all my goods in there. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. What does Jesus say, thou fool? This night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then what's going to happen to those things that you have in those barns? What's going to happen? People are going to come and take it all. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober or of sound mind or of a spiritually alert, it is for your cause. See, these things we do are for the sheep and the flock, aren't we, Brother Roger? We're trying to do these to edify, to build everything up. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So with verse 14, we're going to look at Romans chapter 5. Verse 15, it says, but not as the offense, so also of the three is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So what it says is that if one died, then we're all dead. But we see here that for if the offense of one, many be dead. Talking about Adam. But then he says that if many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, what he accomplished on the cross, hath abounded unto many. So we can see this gift of grace, which is by Jesus Christ. It doesn't say that it hath abounded unto all people, does it? It's abounded unto many, only many. Remember in Matthew chapter 1, and he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people from their sins. So we can see that he died for all. And that he that died for all that the Father giveth him. Remember, All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and all that come unto me, what does he say? I will lose not one. So Jesus Christ did not die for the whole world. He died for what? All of those people that God had given unto him. He shall save his people from their sins. And he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We're not living for ourselves. We're living what? For Jesus Christ. We're living for Jesus Christ. Unto him which died for them and rose again. And he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. What is he doing? He's making intercession for each and every one of us. Verse 17. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So when it says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So when we came and asked for a home in the church and we wanted to be baptized, remember, baptism is like the death and burial of Jesus Christ. When we go under that water, we're putting to death what, Sue? We're putting to death that old man that's going under the water. When we come up and out of that water, we are in newness of life. We are a new man. We're spiritually alive. And that's what he's talking about here, that we are now spiritually alive. Old things are passed away. We put away that old man. All things have been passed away. You know, the Bible says, mortify the deeds that are in the body. That means to put to death the things that are in the old body. For those things are done away with. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us, or given to us, the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation. All things are of God. We talked earlier about everything that's in this world. God spoke it all into existence. He spoke it into existence. And all these things man has used to create things and build things and everything. But to create something is to what? Make something out of nothing. We're not making nothing out of, or something out of nothing, are we? This building here was made by bricks and wood and everything. But we use the materials that what? God created to build this building. He's reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. We're reconciled unto him. Remember, we sing the song, he paid the price, didn't he? He paid the price. He bore our burdens. So we're reconciled. He has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He didn't impute our trespasses unto us, didn't he? That's why we can stand before him at the end of the world, because we're justified through Jesus Christ. We're justified. We're made not guilty. He did not impute. He did not reckon our trespasses unto us. You know that word to wit at the beginning? That is to say that God was in Christ. God was in Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You can't separate them, can you? You can't separate them. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, unto God, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In verse 20, this is where I got it. I guess I should remember where I read it. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have ambassadors in this world today, like in the United States. They send them out to other countries that they're out there. And they're kind of wanting to pretty much tell them the United States is good, right? We're going to do good things. We're going to help you. We're going to be there for you. But isn't it more wonderful to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ as we go out into the world? Remember the man who was in the caves. And Jesus healed him, remember? And he had, remember he asked him, what's your name? Well, my name's Legion, for we are many. And he told all those to go into the pigs, right? And they went into the pigs. So it was, remember he wanted to be with Jesus. And Jesus says, no, I want you to go back into your village. I want you to go back in there. I want to go to your family. I want you to go to your friends and tell them what great things God has done for you. So as he was then being what? He was being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And we are ambassadors for Christ. So we're supposed to go out into the world and tell them what great things God has done for each and every one of us. And he says, now then, as ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, that God did beg you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We pray you in the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And the last verse. For he hath made him to be sin for us. God, what he's saying is, it doesn't have to be written here, for God hath made him, but we know from the previous verses, for God hath made Jesus Christ to be sin for us. So when Jesus Christ was born into the world, God knew what he was going to do. He was going to die for our sins. He was going to die for our sin. Jesus knew that's why he came into this world, to die for our sins. So God made Jesus Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Remember, Jesus Christ knew no sin. He was, what does the Bible say? He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because of Jesus Christ being obedient, because he had faith in God. So he did that so we could be made the righteousness of God in him. So we are clothed upon with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Remember, I think it's in Matthew that he said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no case or no wise enter in. You're not going to enter in except your righteousness can exceed that. Our righteousness did exceed that because we're clothed upon with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Those Pharisees and Sadducees were what, Brother Roger? They're self-righteous. They were believing in their own righteousness. But we don't believe in our own righteousness because our own righteousness is as nothing but filthy rags. So we are made righteous through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for each and every one of us. Isn't that awesome? When we can look at those things and see those things. How good God has been to each and every one of us, hasn't he? He's been so good to us. And that's what makes it so awesome when we're in the world today that we know he's there for us. I'm going to close with what I said earlier. You know, God has not left us alone. Jesus Christ has not left us alone through this pandemic and through this virus. No, he's there for us all the time, isn't he? And isn't that great that he's there for us? I want to thank each and every one for your kind attention this morning. Thank you.